Okay, let's get started. So today we're going to do greatest common factor, and then we're going to start factoring polynomials by taking out the greatest common factor and also factoring by grouping. And then tomorrow we're going to do the AC method, which is probably the most important factoring technique we'll use. But the AC method relies on factoring by grouping, and everything relies on factoring the greatest common factor. So I've handed out a handout that I just grabbed off the internet. Please don't tell anybody I stole it. Probably violating some laws or something. But we're going to do a couple of these. If you notice, on the back are the answers to these problems. So I'm giving you these so you can... We'll work the first two or three, and then you really ought to do some more because we only have a couple in the notes, and I'm not sure how many are in the homeworks, but... You know, it's good to get this basic skill of doing the greatest common factor before we start using it to factor polynomials. And I guess, Diane,
yeah.
Do you have an example that I can show with the multiplying? Or the, I guess I'll just
put one out there.
I'll just put one out there.
Yeah. 2x plus 5 times x minus.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys are, I guess, have brought to her attention a couple of issues, one issue in particular. So if I do a FOIL, let's say 2x plus 5 times x minus 4 or something like that. Now, you still want to use the FOIL method. But yesterday what I did was I wrote down the factors. I said, okay, 2x times x, so 2x times x, that's the first, and then the outer, 2x times 4, and then the inner, so plus 5 times x, and then the last, minus 5 times 4. Now, I was just doing that because... I thought it would make it easier for you guys to follow what I was doing. But if you can do this in your head, then you don't have to write that step. I certainly am not going to write that step, and even when I do problems, I'm not going to continue to write that step. So you see 2x times x, what does that equal? 2x squared. So I'm going to write 2x squared here. I'm not even going to write this line. It's fine if you want to write it and make sure that you're getting the factors written down. My philosophy on that is that you write down the steps you need to write down, or you write down the steps that we tell you to write down, but sometimes the more writing you do, the more probability of error there is. So 2x times x is 2x squared, and then 2x times negative 4 is what? Negative 8x. And then plus 5 times x, well, that's plus 5x. And then plus 5 times negative 4 is what? What is it? Minus 20. Now, I would write this step down, but then the... Because I wouldn't try to do combining the like terms in my head. That's too much work for your brain. Do the work on the paper and save that memory for more valuable things like, you know, grouping or whatever. So now we can combine these like terms. So we get 2x squared, and then minus 8x plus 5x is minus 3x minus 20. So that's all I wanted to say about this is, some of you were asking Diane about that, and just because I was doing it yesterday. So you don't have to write that step unless you feel like you need to. Okay? So, I want to talk about greatest common factor. Let's start with some simple numbers, like 24 and 12. And it's really simple here. What's the greatest common factor between those two numbers? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's the number that when you divide it into 24, you get an integer, whole number. And you also can divide it into 12 and get a whole number. But it's the biggest one of those. So we know we can divide 2 into 24, we can divide 2 into 12, but 2 isn't the biggest one, is it? We could probably do something that's bigger. What would be bigger? Well, 3 divides into 24, and 3 divides into 12. Is that the biggest one? No. What would be the biggest one?
12.
Yeah, you might try 6, and 6 would go into both, but is 6 the biggest one? No, it's actually 12. Because 12 will divide into 12. How many times? One time. So, now how do I look at this? You know, this is one place where I could, Diane and I probably look at this sort of the same way. What I do is I look at the smallest number. And I say, does that number go into 24? So does 12 go into 24? In this case, yes. Then you're done. So the greatest common factor, and we can write, in fact, you'll see sometimes GCF of these two numbers, and that's going to equal 12. Now, what if we didn't know that? Well, I would always start with the smaller of the two numbers and see if it divides in. Oftentimes, it will not. Let's do one where it does not. So greatest common factor of, let's say, 36 and, 27. Does that, 27, yeah. Does 27 go into 36? No. So now what we want to do is we want to find factors of maybe 27 or of 36 that will go into the other. And what are the biggest, what's a big factor of 27? Why do I not want to start with small factors? Yeah, we're trying to find the greatest factor, right? So sometimes you'll be forced into finding this, you know, maybe it's only a factor of 2 that's common. But, so what are the factors of 27? And I don't mean all of them. We're not going to do prime factorizations. That's not necessary for this kind of problem. But what would multiply to give 27? Yeah, so 9 times what? 9 times 3. So 9 goes into 27. Does 9 go into 36? Yeah. Because 4 times 9 is 36. Kind of helps if you know your multiplication tables on something like this, but you're certainly welcome to use your calculator. It's just going to be a lot slower. So, now is 9 the biggest? Is there another, let's say a factor of 36. What would be a factor of 36? 12, okay, good. Does 12 go into 27? No. What about 18? Does 18 go into 36? Yeah. Does it go into 27? No. So, now this, I would call this trial and error. By the way, if you don't get the greatest common factor, that's not the end of the world. If you get a common factor, we're going to see that you can pull that out, and then there's still time later on in the same problem to check again to see if there's a greatest common factor. And so, if you missed it on this one, you still have an opportunity to come back and still get the problem right. So I would say 9, because 3 times 9 is 27, 4 times 9 is 36. I don't think there's anything larger than 9 that will go into both. So I'm going to write 9 here. Okay? So we could do these problems all day long, but where it gets really interesting is in that sheet that I handed out to you. Because now we're not talking about just numbers anymore. We're talking about numbers and variables or letters. So, how many of you have done this kind of stuff before? Raise your hand. You don't have to be good at it. I promise I won't call on you. So a few people are raising your hand. Okay, I would start with the numbers. So 56 and 24. And like in a situation like this, I'd say, okay, how do you multiply to get 56? 8 times 7, is that right? So 8 times 7, does 8 go into 24?
Yes.
Okay, are there any other bigger factors? Like, so 12 will go into 24, but does 12 go into 56? So if you're not sure, you know, you can use a calculator and say 56 divided by 12, or whatever, and see if you get a whole number for your answer. But, and I, believe it or not, sometimes I do that, because I just, I don't know, I'm mentally lazy sometimes, or I just can't see it, or whatever. So, it's okay to use the calculator when you need it. So for the numbers, what was the number that we got?
8.
So 8 goes to the 24, 3 times, and 8 goes to the 56, 7 times. Now, what about a squared and a squared? A goes to the a squared, but what about a squared? So let's break this one down a little bit. Let's get our other scratch paper here. So let me write this down. 56 a squared b c comma 24 a squared b squared. And we've already pulled out the 8. So we're going to say that 8 is one of the factors of the greatest common factor. Now, the a squared, so you got an a squared, maybe we'll pull that over to the side here, a squared and a squared. Well, what's the greatest common factor of a squared and a squared? Well, it's the thing that will divide into both a whole number of times. So, what is that? Well, you can certainly put a into that. So, a squared divided by a is a. But look, there's another factor of a sitting there. So, maybe a squared divided by a squared. What is a squared divided by a squared? 1. 1's a whole number. So, I think that a squared would be the greatest common factor of those two numbers. A squared really is a number when you think of it as, you know, a is a variable that has a number in it. So, a squared, so I'm going to write a squared here. And we're going to come back in a minute and prove, I'll demonstrate to you that that is the greatest common factor. Okay, what about b and b squared? So b will go into b. Will b go into b squared? Yes. So b is a candidate. We can, you know, but now can we divide b squared into b? No. B squared will go into b squared, but b squared will not go into b. So we cannot use b squared. But we can use b. So I'm going to write down b here. Okay? Now what about this c? What divides into c? Well, c divides into c, but do we have a c over here? So can we use c? No, because really there's a 1 over here. It's a ghost 1. Does c go into 1? No. So, I don't include it. Okay? Now what we're going to do is we're going to take this number, we're going to divide it by this. So 56a squared bc divided by 8a squared b. Because I want to see what happens when we divide it. Well, what happens? So how many times does 8 go into 56? 7. How many times does a squared go into a squared? Once. So I'm not going to write the 1. How many times does b go into b? And if you want, we can just cancel them like this. We get a 7 here. What about the c? So the c is, so the remaining, the other factor is 7c. Now let's go over here, and so 24a squared b squared, and we're going to divide it by 8a squared b. Now 24 divided by 8 is what? 3. A squared divided by a squared, those cancel. B squared divided by b is b. So we get 3b. Are there any common factors between 7c and 3b? So we have found the greatest common factor. This thing that will go into both the 56a squared bc and the 24a squared b squared. And there are no other factors that we could get. Okay, so we go back over here, and what is our greatest common factor? 8a squared b, so we write that down. And look over on the other side. Ah, I always like getting the positive reinforcement here, so 8a squared b is the correct answer. Okay? Now this one took a little bit of time, but only because we took our time and talked about it. We can, you know, once you get good at this, you can read these things off. What about 99s squared t cubed and 33t times u? So 33 goes into 99, is that true? Three times. Okay, so I'll put a 3 here. And now, are there any S's over here on the right-hand side? Are there any S's? But there's an S squared here. So what's the... Can we use S or S squared in our greatest common factor? S will go into S squared, but S will not go into TU. There's no S's over here. So we can't use S, we cannot use S squared. So we just leave it. What about T? Can we use T? Does T divide into T cubed? One time. Well, T squared times. Right? So t cubed divided by t is what? T squared. So it's t squared times that'll go into it. And t will go into t how many times? Now this is a 1. Okay? So what would be the common factor between t cubed and t? What is it? T. Okay. Now, what about u? Can we do anything with the u? Now, u will go into u one time, but there's no u's over here. So we can't use that as a common factor. And again, let's kind of break this down a little bit. Where is that? Okay. So 99 s squared t cubed divided by, what did we say, 3t? So 3t is equal to what? I'm sorry, I said 3, but I meant 33. So how many times does 33 go into 99? Say it 3 times. What is there an S that we can divide? No, so I write the S squared. What about T cubed divided by T? What is that? T squared. Now let's do the other one. Oops, wait, no, I did mean. Sorry. Common.
Shouldn't the common between 33 and 99 be 33?
Yeah, you're right. You guys got to catch me when I make those mistakes. So this is 33 underneath here. So you get 3. Now, what about the other one? So 33t times u divided by 33t, what happens there? Well, the 33s cancel, the t's cancel, what do you get left over? U. Are there any common factors between 3s squared t squared and u? No. So, therefore, our answer should be 33t, and we turn it over, and we see, hallelujah, 33t. Okay? So, we can do a lot more of these. I suggest that you do some of these. Do you think we need to do any more? Maybe one more? So pick one. So which one would you like to see? Number 7? Huh?
Uh-huh.
7? Okay. So what is the largest factor? So there are no numbers. There's no numerical coefficients here. So you got a q to the 5th, r, s to the 9th, and then q to the 7th, r squared, s to the 8th. What's the largest factor of q that will go into both q to the 5th and q to the 7th? Q to the 5th. Because q to the 5th will go into q to the 5th. One time, q to the 5th will go into q to the 7th. How many times? Q squared times. Q to the 7th divided by q to the 5th. How many times does q to the 5th go into q to the 7th? What do you get when you divide it?
Subtract
the exponents. Very good. What do you get?
Q squared.
Okay. So it's not 2 times. It's not 1/2 time. It's not 1 time. It's q squared times. Okay. So that's the q. What about the r? How many times does r? What's the biggest common factor between r and r squared?
R.
So r will go into r once. R will go into R squared. How many times? R squared divided by R is R. So how many times does R go into R squared? R times. Not once. R times. Because you need to figure that out, because when you factor a greatest common factor out, there's going to be something left behind. It's not going to be a 1 that's left behind. It's an R that's left behind. So what do I write here?
R.
What about S to the 9th and S to the 8th? What's the largest common factor? How many? So what is it? Not 8. Huh? Not S. S to the 8th. Okay. So how many times does S to the 8th go into S to the 8th?
Once.
How many times does S to the 8th go into S to the 9th?
One.
No. S. Think about it this way. S to the 9th divided by s to the a is equal to s.
Shouldn't on there, shouldn't that be 2 squared instead of 2 times on your answer line?
Huh? No, we're not finding the what's left over. We're finding the greatest common factor.
Which would be
q to the fifth.
Got it.
So, and this is r. And then this is what? What do I write here? S to the eighth. If you say S8, I don't know what that means. So S to the eighth. Okay. We're going to have more opportunity to practice this. So I don't want to do all of them and deprive you of all the fun of doing some of these yourself. So, okay. So now we're going to go into the notes, and you'll see that I think now we're ready to tackle some of these problems. So find the greatest common factor of 24 and 36. Well, what's a big factor of 24 that will also go into 36? Six will. Is that the biggest one? 12 will. Yeah, 12 will go into 24 and 12 will go into 36. So I'm going to write 12 there. Find the greatest common factor of 52x squared y and 16xy cubed. So I want to think about, 52. What is 52? Well, if you play cards, see, that's how I kind of think of it. 52-card deck divided by 4 is equal to what? 13. So there's 13 cards in each suit. So 4 times 13, and does 4 go into 16? Now, I don't think are there any other factors? Let's see, 26 goes into 52. But 26 does not go into 16. So what do we think the biggest one is? I think 4 is. Does 8 go? So 8 goes into 16, but does 8 go into 52?
No.
And by the way, again, if you don't get that right, it's not the end of the world. Because when we come back and do these practical problems with factoring, we're going to still have an opportunity to fix the situation. So I'm going to write 4. Now, what about the x squared and the x? What's the greatest common factor between those two? X. Because x goes into x how many times?
1.
How many times does x go into x squared? X times. So I use x here. Now, what about the y? There's a y here, and there's a y cubed. Between those two numbers, what's the greatest common factor?
Just the
that lone y. Because y will go into y, and y will go into y squared. So y goes into y once, y goes into y cubed how many times? Y squared times, right? Because, again, it's y cubed divided by y, which is y squared. And when you pull a y out of a y cubed, you're going to be left with a y squared. So you need to be able to do this kind of little bit of arithmetic. Okay, in fact, we're going to start doing that right now. Okay, so find the greatest common factor of the coefficients. Include the smallest power of every variable in the polynomial. Now, I think what they mean is the smallest power that... I wouldn't use the smallest power. I guess they just want to find the greatest common factor. So, what is it between these two? Now, we don't have an and or a comma between these now. We've got a minus sign or possibly a plus sign. So what is the greatest common factor of these two terms? 4
x squared
y. Now it's not asking us to factor yet, so it's just asking us for make sure that's right. Yeah. So on the next page, we'll actually factor them out. Here, we're just finding the GCF. Okay, what is the greatest common factor of these three terms? So 12 will not go into 18. 12 will not go into 30. So it has to be something that's less than 12. 6 would work. 6 will go into 12. 6 will go into 18. 6 will go into 30. So I think between those numbers, 6 is the greatest common factor. So I'll write 6. Now, what about the x's? You got an x cubed, an x squared, and an x. What's the greatest common factor between those numbers? X. Because x will go into this x one time, x will go into this x squared x times, and x will go into this x cubed x squared times. Okay, and likewise, let's see. Now they're telling you here,
anytime your polynomial starts with a negative sign, you're going to be asked to factor out the negative as well. Now I have mixed feelings about that, but I think we should stay with that rule because that's going to be the simplest. So
I see a minus sign here, so I want to factor it out. Now, I'm not factoring it, but it's saying the GCF should be negative. So we put a negative sign here. Now, between 6 and 11, what is the greatest common factor? 1. Good. Very good. So I won't write it because it's a ghost 1. Okay. What about the x squared? There's an x squared here and an x squared there. So x squared is the greatest common factor between those two. Now here's a y and a y squared. What's the greatest common factor there? Y. And what about the z squared and the z? Just the z. And so, if you divide negative x squared yz into this, you're going to get positive 6 well, you're factoring out a negative, so you get a positive. I guess I don't need to do that right now. That's just going to be confusing. So, next page. Down here. Okay, now here's where we're actually going to factor out the greatest common factor. So, usually what I want to do is find the greatest common factor, write it on the left-hand side, and then use parentheses to write the other remaining terms. And so, that means the first thing we do is we come up with the greatest common factor. Now, what is the greatest common factor for negative 6, negative 12, and 18? Okay, so 6 will go into 6, 6 will go into 12, 6 will go into 18. But remember, there's a minus sign in front, so we're going to pull out the negative as well. So negative 6. Now what about the a? There's an a cubed here, an a squared here, and an a here. So what's the greatest common factor between the a's? Just a plain old a. Now I'm going to put a left parenthesis, and what's left over from the first term? If we pull out a negative 6a from the first term, what's left over? A squared. Now notice this is a plus a squared, because if you reverse the process and distribute, negative 6a times a squared is negative 6a cubed. So this does have to be a positive a squared here. What about this 12a squared, the second term? So is it plus or minus? Plus 2a, because we're pulling out an a, we've got an a that's left. And again, if we multiplied it, negative 6a times 2a is negative 12a squared. So you can always check your work when you're factoring out a greatest common factor. And then the last term, negative, so negative 6 goes into positive 18, negative 3 times, and the a goes into the a1, so this is correct. And I put parentheses around that. Now later on we're going to come back and decide whether or not this can be subsequently factored. Maybe we can factor a little bit more. I don't know. But we're not going to answer that question now. All we're doing right now is we're factoring out the greatest common factors. Okay, let's do the next one. So 5x squared yz minus 30x squared z squared. We want to factor out the greatest common factor. So between the numbers, what's the greatest common factor? 5. Because 5 will go into 5 and 5 will go into 30. So we put a 5 here. What about the x squared? So x squared will go into x squared, and x squared will go into x squared. So x squared seems to be the greatest common factor here for the x's. And then what about the y's? There's no y in the second term, so we're not going to write it in the greatest common factor. And what about the z? We've got a z here and a z squared. So what's the greatest common factor between the z's? So it's just the plain old z. Now this is a plus 5x squared yz in the first term, so we don't pull out the minus sign here. Left parenthesis. What's left over from the first term? Just a y. And if we multiply these two things, we get 5x squared yz, 5x squared yz. So that's correct. Now I see a minus here. I'm going to put a minus here that reflects this minus because this is a plus. And how many times did 5 go into 30? 6. How many times did x squared go into x squared? Once. So I'm not going to write the 1. And then how many times does z go into z squared? Z. So I put a z here. And you can multiply it back out. So 5 times negative 6 is negative 30. X squared. Z times z is z squared. So looks like that's correct.
So it's like you're undistributing.
That's right. So factoring is actually the process of undoing FOIL or undoing distributing. And so an easy way to check your work is to reverse the process and see if you get the same answer. Okay. Now it's asking us to factor out the common binomial. And it says in this case a minus 1, the same way that you factor out the greatest common factor. Well, in this case, a minus 1 is the greatest common factor between these two terms. It's in parentheses, and it's multiplying, so it's a factor. But it's you know, it looks a little different than the other ones that we did, because, excuse me, there's that minus sign in there. But it's a common factor. You got something times a minus 1 here, and you've got something times a minus 1 here. And so it's a common factor, so we can pull it out. So a minus 1, now you've got to put it in parentheses, because even though it's a factor, if it's going to multiply something, you've got to put it in parentheses. If you don't have parentheses here, then you're just going to have a minus 1 times something, which that'll end up being wrong. And then left parenthesis, what did we leave behind when we pulled out this A minus 1? The X. So that's from the first term. What did we leave behind when we pulled out the X, the A minus 1 from the second term? Yeah, plus 2. And so this is correctly factored. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. If I multiply this out, I don't get X times A minus 1 plus 2 times A minus 1. I get A times X and, you know, do the whole FOIL thing. Well, but if you multiply this out and compared it, you would actually see that they're identical once it's simplified. Okay? This will come up every now and then. You'll have a binomial that you'll want to factor out. Not all that often, but sometimes. Here there's another one they're asking you to do. Factor out the binomial common factor. What is the binomial common factor in this expression? B minus 2. So there's the something times B minus 2 here and something times B minus 2 here. So B minus 2 is a common factor. Now there may be other factors that are common. It's just asking us to look at that binomial, but if in general, we might have to look at other ones too. So I'm going to write the B minus 2. Make sure you put it in parentheses. And then left parenthesis, what did we leave behind when we pulled the B minus 2 out of the first term? 3B minus. And then what did we leave behind when we pulled out the B minus 2 from the second term? 13. And it's a minus 13, subtracting 13 here. Okay? You guys are doing really good. So, okay, so now, this is going to turn out to be an important skill for us because, and I mentioned this before, but let me say it again, when we do factoring in general, oftentimes we're going to end up with factoring by grouping as part of the process. What do I mean by factoring by grouping? Well, you can read this whole thing, but I'm just going to walk you through it. What they do is they take the first two terms and group them together and factor that. And then they take the second two terms and group those together and factor that. And hopefully, if everything works out well, you're going to find that you have a common binomial factor between the two. Just like we did a moment ago. So, instead of using parentheses, I'm going to draw the little curly brace underneath here. Just to show you, the reason I don't want to use parentheses is because if this happens to be a minus sign, and it will in many cases, you don't want to put parentheses around this and leave this as a plus sign. That ends up being wrong. And so I want us to group these like this. If it's plus, that's good. If it's minus, that's also good. So, now we're going to factor this first grouping. Now you might say, well, how is that going to work? Just trust me. I don't normally say that, but this is one of those situations where you might not be able to see what's coming. So let's just see what happens. So 2x cubed plus 10x squared, can we factor that? Can we factor the greatest common factor out? What is the greatest common factor for this? So between 2 and 10, the greatest common factor is 2. What about the x cubed and the x squared? X squared. So I'm going to write 2x squared and what do you have left over when you pull out a 2x squared from these first two terms? What's left from the first term? X. Right? Because 2x squared times x gives you 2x cubed. And then plus, now what's left over from the second term? 5. Right? So 2x squared times 5 is 10x squared. So we have successfully factored the first grouping. And now I'm going to take this plus sign and I'm going to write it here. Now, what can we factor out from the 3x and the 15? What's the greatest common factor of those two terms? 3, because 3 will go into 3. 3 will also go into 15, and that's the greatest common factor for the numbers. There's no x over here, so we can't use x as part of our greatest common factor. So I put a 3 here. Write a left parenthesis. What's left over when we pull the 3 out of the 3x? X plus. And then if we pull a 3 out of the 15, a 5 is left over. Now, do you see anything interesting or unusual or worth mentioning about this situation? There's an x plus 5 that's common to both terms, right? Something times x plus 5 plus something times x plus 5. So x plus 5 is a common factor. And we're going to see, oftentimes, factoring involves multiple steps. You do one thing, and then you do another thing, and then you do another thing, and then we ask you, well, do one more thing. You know, it might be 3 or 4 or 5 things that you have to do, but when you're, if you do them correctly and you get them all done, you successfully factored the thing. So now, we factored by grouping, but what we ended up doing was getting, apparently, a binomial factor that's common, so we need to pull that out. So I'm going to write that here. So x plus 5, you must put it in parentheses. And then you have a left parenthesis. And inside here, you're going to put what was left behind when you pulled out the x plus 5. So what was left behind when you pulled out the x plus 5 from the first term? 2x squared. And then plus, what's left behind when you pull out the x plus 5 from the second term? 3. And notice, what we have done is we factored this expression. We started, now I haven't said this before yet, sometimes you wonder, why are we calling it factoring? Why don't we call it globbing or, you know, make up some other word? Well, here we started with 4 things that are added together. Add, right? And what we ended up with is 2 things that are multiplied together. And this is a factor, and this is a factor. And so what we have done is factored, or turned into factors, this thing that was originally a sum of terms. So you take the sum of terms and you do some process, and it's just rules that you follow. You know, you can go into robot mode and do these things. And you know, you guys will get really good at it because we're going to spend some time on it. And you end up with taking this thing that was a sum of terms and turning it into things that are multiplied together or factors. And so we've just factored that polynomial. This is a polynomial. We factored it into that. Now, we might have to look at each factor to see if we can factor it further, but we'll deal with that later. Okay? Let's do the next one. By the way, I don't know about you guys, but I have so much fun factoring. I know it sounds silly, but, you know, there's just no greater joy in the world than doing something correctly and getting the correct answer. And, you know, people pat you on the back for it, right? That's always a good thing. So, I don't know, I like doing this kind of stuff, and I hope this rubs off on you. I hope by the end of this you're going to love factoring. Okay. Now, we're going to do this also by grouping. One clue
that you can factor by grouping is if you have four terms. One, two, three, four. It's not always going to work. In fact, oftentimes it doesn't work. But it's something that you want to look at. If you have three terms, then you may use factoring by grouping in the middle of your process, but you wouldn't start with factoring by grouping. But if it's four terms, that's a good candidate for factoring by grouping.
So we're going to group the first two terms. And by the way, you should always write these, if they're not already written, in descending order by powers or by degree. This is, what is this degree here? What is it? Three. Third degree. What's this? Second degree. First degree. Zero degree. So the grouping will, in fact,
I'm just going to admit this to you. When I can sometimes be diabolical when I write a test or a quiz. I'll say, let's see if I can screw them up. Right? And so one of the things that I'll do is I'll put them out of order. And then say, factor by grouping, or factor. And it's out of order. And so what's the first thing you got to do?
You got to put them in order. So otherwise, it will not work. Okay. So let's take the first group. And what's the common, the greatest common factor for this first grouping? 8. 8t squared. So 8 will go into 8. 8 will go into 16. Usually the numbers are not going to be that difficult. So after you get good at this, we can just knock these out. So 8t squared. So I'm going to write 8. T squared times, and then what's left over? 2t minus. Now, this is one of the places where people make mistakes is they don't, they see, well, wait. We took the 8t squared out, there's nothing left. Ah, but there's a ghost 1. That, there's an 8t squared times 1. When you pull out the 8t squared, you still have that 1. Otherwise, when you multiply, you're not going to get the same answer. So you got to remember that ghost 1. So I'm going to put a 1 here. Now, I'm going to pull this, whatever this is here, this comes down and becomes the minus sign for that part of the problem. What is the greatest common factor for 6t and 3? What is it? 3. Okay. Now I'm writing a 3 here, but this minus sign here. Now you got to be careful. What did I say about minus signs? But look both ways. Exactly. My mother, she said, just run out in the street, please. Go out, run out in the street. But most mothers will tell their children, you know, look both ways when you cross the street. And so I see this minus sign. That's a look both ways moment for me. And so I slow down. Man, oh man, do I slow down when I see a minus sign. Because, you know, as a math teacher, it's really embarrassing when you make a mistake. Especially if a student catches it. And so I don't want to stand up here and make mistakes. I do make mistakes, but I want to do everything I can to avoid them. So this minus sign, I'm carrying this minus sign down. I write this 3, left parenthesis, what's left over from the first term? 2t. What's left over from the second term? Is it 1? Minus 1. Why is it minus 1? Because negative 3 times negative 1 is positive 3. So if there's a minus sign here, and if this is a plus sign, this is going to become a minus sign. Now, I'd rather you not memorize that rule. I'd rather you figured it out each and every time. Because it only takes 4.3 seconds to figure it out. But if you're aware of it and thinking about it, you'll figure it out, right? Always be checking your work. Negative 3 times 2t is negative 6t. Negative 3 times negative 1 is what? positive 3. If I put a plus sign here, then that would not be correct. Because negative 3 times plus 1 is negative 3, and this is not a negative 3, this is a plus 3. Also,
you wouldn't get the same binomial in both of these cases. You'd have a 2t minus 1 here and a 2t plus 1 there, and then you'd be like, oh, we can't do it by grouping. Well, that's because you made a minus sign error. That's why you got to be careful. If you run into that situation, now you got to go back and double check and make sure you're correct. Because it's possible that it can't be factored by grouping.
There's no guarantee that you're going to be able to factor these by grouping. In this case, yes, we can. What's the next step? Take out the 2t minus 1. So we see that there is a 2t minus 1 multiplying here. We've got a 2t minus 1 multiplying here. So we have a common factor of 2t minus 1 in those two terms. So I write 2t minus 1. Now what do I have to do? Parentheses. You've got to put parentheses around that. And then left parenthesis here. What was left behind when we pulled the 2t minus 1 out of this first term? 8t squared. What was left behind when we pulled the 2t minus 1 out of the second term? Minus 3. And glory be, that is correct. Okay, last page. This is too easy, right? We're just whizzing through this stuff. Okay. Now this is student activity. So let's go ahead and make an attempt at these. I know you can do them all. Spend a few minutes and then we'll come back and I'll show you what I get when I do them.
Didn't come out.
Just doesn't work?
Doesn't work.
Let me give you guys a hint. So the first problem does work.
What?
Of course it works. What did they do to you on that first problem? Yeah. It said, it wasn't even me that did it. How about if we do 12 and 13 first, and we'll coordinate on that, and then you guys can do the last one yourself. So just do 12 and 13 for the moment, and then we'll work it out, and you can see what you did right and what you did wrong.
She got the right answer.
Okay, well, so let's sync up for a moment and let's do the 12 and 13 and then I'll turn you guys loose on 14. So you notice right away, and really, I don't know, I think instinctively you should check to see that these things are in the right order, because if they're not in the right order, things are not going to work out. So I see this is a third degree, 0 degree, 1 degree, 2 degree, so it's not set up in the right order. So I'm going to rewrite them. So 3x cubed minus 7x squared plus 3x minus 7. And then I'm going to group the first two and the group the second two. And what's the common factor for the first pair? So there's nothing in common for the 7 and the 3, but there you've got an x cubed and x squared. So x squared is the common factor. So I'm going to bring that out. What's left over? 3x minus 7. Bring this plus down. Now what's the common factor for 3x minus 7 here? 1 is the... Because I see this is a 3x minus 7, this is a 3x minus 7, but I've got to have something that I'm factoring out in order to do this grouping correctly. So I put a 1 here. If I don't have that 1, now you don't have to write the 1. If you know what you're doing, you can just put the parenthesis there.
But we want you to write the 1.
It's a good idea to put the 1 there, because you're going to need the 1 in the next step. Thanks, Diane. You're right. Yeah, I would write the 1. So 3x minus 7
And by the way, sometimes it's a negative one. If it had been a negative 3x, like...
That's right. So, yeah. So this, we have a 3x minus 7 that's common to both. So I bring that out. So 3x minus 7 in parentheses, left paren. What is the, what's left behind in the first term? X squared plus 1. See, if you forget that plus 1, then the whole thing is wrong. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, so when you guys are doing your homework tonight or tomorrow, if you happen to look up this answer in the back of the book and they have the factors in the reverse order, it's the same answer. So it doesn't matter what order you list them. We're pretty consistent. Like, he and I will always pull this common one out and list it first. But the order the factors appear is not important. Just that they're there with the correct signs. So I don't think it's wrong if you're in a different order and I have to reorder it. But we always do it the same way and pull this one out.
Yeah, A times B is equal to B times A. So it doesn't matter what order you put them in. And that's a good point. Okay, so let's do the next one. Now, these are written in the correct order. And so, grouping... Now, you don't have to write these curly braces like I'm doing, but it's helpful to remind yourself what you're grouping together. So, you've got a 2 and a 3. There's nothing in common between those. What about the x cubed and the x squared?
X squared.
So, I'm going to bring out an x squared, left paren, left parenthesis, and then... What's left behind on the first? 2x minus 3. Now I'm going to bring down this minus sign. And what do you pull out for the 4x minus 6? 2. So I put a 2 there, left parenthesis, and then what goes here? 2x.
Plus
3. Oops. What happens?
You double check and make sure you pull out that negative 2, right?
Yeah. So this,
I would do, because they're supposed to match. Like, in my head, they are supposed to match. The whole process doesn't go any further unless those two parentheses numbers match. And in this case, they're really, really close, right? So I'm just double checking that I did that right. Like negative, that was just in the back list. So negative 2 times 2x is negative 4x. Did that part right. Negative 2 times positive 3. Oh, we did do it right. So this is weird.
Yeah. You gotta,
very weird.
You got to check your work. Especially if you get something like this. This is wrong. I mean, it's correct.
Yeah.
But you cannot continue the process. It cannot be factored by grouping.
So the correct answer, write that down. Like, if they will say, cannot be factored by grouping.
Yeah, I would write that.
English, that's what they'll write. Like, it's a weird... These two that they just did, number 12 and 13, are a bit the quirky cases. The first one was quirky because the original problem was out of order. So you had to reorder it. That wasn't going to work. This one's quirky because even though you're doing everything right... They don't agree, so it just doesn't factor by grouping, and that's always a possible answer for what you're doing. Unusual, but it can happen.
And I wouldn't cross this out. There's nothing wrong with this.
It's just
not going to get you any further as far as factoring.
Not everybody factors by this technique. If you just made stuff up, it's not going to work. These are very contrived to work in general.
Yeah. Okay, so now go ahead and do this last problem.
Ooh.
And notice the directions. It says first step in any factoring problem, factor out the greatest common factor if there is one. Then, in this case, factor by grouping.
So does this four-term thing have a common factor? Between the numbers, 15, 18, negative 5, and negative 6, I agree it would be 1. So we don't write that one down. But look, 2 to the 4th, t cubed, t squared, and he has a t. So everybody has a t, right? So therefore, you can pull out a t.
T is greatest common factor.
The greatest common factor would just be the letter t. So start with that. Pull that out in front, undistribute it, pull it out. Factoring is cumulative, guys. Like, you have to, whatever he does today, you got to remember for tomorrow. And, like, it's, they all merge together. Big problems. So GCF is always your first line of defense. I think it would be a smart idea to show this one the correct, like taking out T first.
And then,
oh, I forgot to do that. And then you're going to have to factor the pay me now, pay me later thing about the GCS.
The other thing I want to mention is the ratios. This is going to work if, you know, this is not a good example here, but yeah, above one actually has a good example where, you know, 15 to 18 is 5 to 6.
That group, yeah. And that T that you pulled out, just is your final answer. So just add a one.
If you can't.
So do the leftovers by group.
One thing I find so
common between all of them is just
how sometimes it can be.
Yeah.
That might be an advantage.
But, yeah, don't remember.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's one
that. Yeah, it really is.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it just depends on the student and yeah, what they see and what they do.
T is the only one that they all have.
So then, did you factor by grouping?
After you pull the T out, just keep going.
So you have to keep going.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you pull out the T, then the thing that's still in parentheses, you need to factor that by grouping.
So this is how it's okay, so he's going to show. Okay, so you're doing this. So now, like, yeah, group those two and group these two. And that T just kind of keeps coming down. It's like your final answer. So keep going with that first. So they don't match, so you did something wrong. So erase. How many T's? He's got two to four, he's got two. So it's not just actually five. You've got to pull out the G, yeah. You've got to pull out the most that can come out of each one. So between 15 and 18, I agree it's a 3. But between T to the 4 and T cubed, you must pull out the Q. Do you know what I'm saying?
You got to
pull out the, not just a common factor, but the great factor. Otherwise, you're not going to match up. So between these two,
right? Let's see.
Between 15 and 18, you got the 3.
Yep.
But between 2 and the 4, and
yep,
T cubed, it's always the worst.
Yeah. So T just pull that stuff all the way down.
Yeah, well, so make sure that you are showing that it's multiplying this times, so it's T times this times this. And you're right, it does come down. Now, I would probably use square brackets.
So I'll say it sort of a different way.
Intermediate part.
Oh, okay.
But you don't have to do that. I mean, because here's...
I know that you get 3, right?
This is kind of where I'm still. I don't care if you got it.
And it comes out. And
this, this is equal to this.
Because you can't pull a 4 out if you don't have 4.
This is equal to this.
You can pull
but
three
if you don't show
the
T,
it's
and that equal sign, is
the lowest power.
We have to respect that equal sign. When we say something is equal to something else, and they really are the same thing.
Okay, so
now, I know when you draw an arrow like this, that it means that T should be in each step.
Now, the question is, does this have to go first?
It doesn't matter. When we're factoring, it doesn't matter. Now we're going to find that things like this will factor later on, but at this point we don't care.
Us worried about that.
And now they match.
Well, you just set T out all the way out to the side.
So this thing is common.
And
then it comes out
by itself.
And then
it's still a factor, but it by itself is a factor.
I'm going to check. Okay, you okay with that so far? Okay.
The problem is this
So when you get the good common factor, you got to work it out.
Okay. I think we're actually running out of time. So I've got just enough time to do this problem. So the first step is to remove the, or factor out the T, which is common. I'm going to write T times, and then I'm going to use brackets here. You can use parentheses too, but brackets help me remember which is which. So you get 15T cubed plus 18T squared minus what? 5T minus what? 6. Notice that's all in brackets. There's still this T out here. It's this lone T that's multiplying. Now we're going to group. We're going to factor by grouping. And so we get T here. We're still inside the brackets. So what can we pull out? Yeah, it looks like 3 is the biggest. So 3T squared, left parenthesis, 5T plus 6, minus, this minus and this minus have to agree, but then you have a 1, because there's nothing else that we can pull out of here. So 1 times, and then you've got a, what, 5T plus 6. Because minus 1 times plus 6 is, gives you a minus 6. And so now we can write this T. Now I'm going to pull the 5T plus 6 out. So 5T plus 6. Left parenthesis, what's left over here? 3T squared minus 1. And now we're done. And if we forget to pull the T out, you can still group this thing. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this kind of quickly. But if we just factor from here, let me rewrite this. So 15T to the 4th plus 18T cubed minus 5T squared minus 6T. Oops. So grouping these guys and these guys. So here we've got a 3T cubed times 5T plus 6, right? Minus, and then T times 5T plus 6. And so now we can put these together. So 5T plus 6 times what? 3T cubed minus T. Are we done? No, because this can be factored. There's a common factor of T here. So if I pull out that T, we get T here, 5T plus 6, and then what's left over here? 3t squared minus 1, and we get the same answer as we got over here.
We generally all agreed to write the monomial out front. Like if you plot a t or a 2 or a 2t or whatever, you would list that guy first. Even though it came out as second factor, like it just gets put in front.
Yeah, you don't want to stick it in the middle.
That would look weird.
It would look weird. It might get lost.
So you have a lot of GCF to do tonight, just pull out the greatest common factor, and then some grouping. Your ability to do tomorrow's lesson will totally depend on the fact if you can read it out. So.
Okay.
on both cameras and Pauline have emailed the
Okay.
Somebody's taking their family. So.